I'd also like to extend a Christian greeting in the name of Jesus to each one here this morning. It's good to have you here. Welcome to the visitors. Thank you for helping us fill some of our empty spots this morning with RBS going on. It's been a blessing to be here. Encouragement. I'd like you to turn your Bibles for a message this morning to Matthew chapter 25. I have two text scriptures this morning, Matthew 25 and part of Luke 16. Both of them have to do or tell stories about a number of men who were stewards. So I'd like to talk about the principles, or actually four principles, of biblical stewardship this morning. Stewardship is something that is very important to us as Christians. At least it should be. I think once we get through these principles, I think you understand that. I think you understand it already, but I think you understand it hopefully a little better. Stewardship is the job of taking care of or supervising or managing the possessions of another person. And so often we talk about stewardship, we think about money and how we use our money, but it's actually something much broader than that. It includes our money, but it includes actually all of life, what we do and how we live our lives and how we spend our money and how we, what we do with, how we do life is actually involved in this question about stewardship. Money has quite a bit to do with it. A steward is someone who's been entrusted with the possessions of another person. And we will find, I'd like to read these portions of Scripture and then go into the four principles of biblical stewardship. I'm going to give them to you right now so you watch for them as we read. So there is a principle of ownership. Don't forget that God is the owner of everything we possess. There is a principle of responsibility. We are responsible individuals for the things that God has blessed us with. There is also the principle of accountability. One day we'll give account of how we've used the things that God has given to us. And then there's also the principle of reward. There is a reward for good stewardship and a punishment for poor stewardship. Let's read Matthew 25. I'd like to read verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29, we find a scriptural, spiritual principle that we'd like to come back to a little later, but take note of this. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, to an account of another steward. A bit of a different setting, a different situation. This steward was in the process of losing his job because he had wasted his master's goods. And there was a penalty for it. Luke 16 and verse 1. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same, or the steward, was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he, the steward, said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. The Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, I am sure there could be numerous messages made out of these two passages. I'd like to pull a few truths out of this and then head back to Matthew chapter 25. I think the Bible principle back in Matthew 25 that I referred to, let me just read it to you again, if I can quickly find it here. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Think about what he's saying here. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, in verse 10. In verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? These are tests of faithfulness. It is required in stewards that they be found faithful, full of faith, They're trustworthy. People can trust them because they've handled well the things that they've been given responsibility for. And that is a trust. That's a big responsibility. We can think of various other stewards, and stewardship is something that is a part of our lives. I'm thinking of men and women, and you can think of lots of different examples. I'm thinking about Joseph. You remember his situation at home there, where he was sold into Egypt, and he was made Potiphar's servant, and Potiphar set him in place as the overseer of his house. And the Bible, the account tells us that God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. And Joseph was a faithful overseer, a faithful steward, and God blessed him for that. There's a blessing in faithfulness. I'm thinking about Esau. Here was a man who was not a faithful steward. He squandered his inheritance. He squandered what he would have got from his father, because he didn't count it valuable, and so he squandered it. A poor steward. Now, as we look at these principles of stewardship, I would like to put a plug in for to the young people especially. Now, all of us can benefit from these, I believe. But I get around a bit with financial things, and I hear stories from young people. And one of the regrets that they have is that, so they get to the place in life where they are making investments. They're buying a first house, or think about getting married, and all of a sudden they start taking a look back in the rear view mirror a bit, and they've got some regrets there because they think about all the money they spent that they wish they wouldn't have. Do you call that poor stewardship? I'm not going to call it that necessarily. Sometimes it's just unwise. Sometimes we don't think about some of those needs ahead of us. But there are some principles here that I believe that we need to take to heart, because I believe we get the principles of biblical stewardship as the foundation of our decisions, foundation of our lives. We will receive some blessings there. It will actually change our life. It'll change the way we live. It'll change the way we think, even. It'll change where we spend our money. It'll change what we do, because when we put those principles in place in our lives, it will make a difference about how we look at our things, our things. Think about that a little bit. We'll clarify that just a little bit later. But it will make a difference. And it made a difference in these men's lives as well. So one of the things I'd like to get back to now is the principles of ownership. That is the first principle I mentioned there. Never forget that God is the owner of everything. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Everything is the Lord's. This is the psalmist who talks about the cattle upon a thousand hills are the Lord's. We look out on our flocks and our land and our house and our possessions as ours. Sometimes we call them ours. That's my car. That's my farm. But the earth, anything that has a title or a deed or anything with my name on it, ascertaining my ownership of it, it's actually the Lord's. And that is a biblical principle that we have to keep in mind if we're going to be able to be good stewards. Because without that in place, we're going to look at the things that God has given to us to use in a wrong way. Psalm 50:12 says, "If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, when you think about God asking us for something. Now he asks for us to give our bodies a living sacrifice, and live for him, give our hearts and lives for him, and live for him. But you think about, some of you have little children right now, so it'd be a little bit like your six-month-old son offering to give you, as the dad, something. What can he give you? You own it. Own it. I'm speaking a little bit. Yeah. Stay with me. You own the things that he is. You're in possession of those things. And he really can't give you anything. And even if you'd need something, you wouldn't ask him for it, because he just doesn't have the ability to give. And that's a little bit the way it is with us and God. You know, sometimes we think we've got enough and we're kind of self-sufficient. I don't really need a lot of anything from anybody. And so the fact is that the things that we have are God's. He owns them. He's given us possession of them for a point. We are stewards. We're taking care of his things. So think about the things that you call your own. They're actually God's. He's given you charge of them. He's headed into the far country, like the Lord in this account did. And he has appointed you as a steward to take care of those things. So how do I act with my things? There's various attitudes that go with all that. Do I have the attitude of a steward? And God owns the things I have. I live that way. I believe that. It shows in the way I handle the things that I have control of. Or do I act like an owner? It's mine. And I can do with what I want. I can spend it where I will. It's mine. I've earned it. Am I content? Or am I covetous? Am I thankful or complaining? Moderate or excessive, humble or proud, brotherhood or independence. My attitude about stewardship will decide which one I am in that list of characteristics. A steward says, "Everything I have is a gift from God." An owner says, "Everything I have is mine. I deserve it because I earned it. It's mine to do with what I want." God doesn't really need our resources, but we need the exercise and discipline of giving. And giving is actually an act of worship. We partner with God. God uses us and the money that he has given to us to accomplish his work. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "We are laborers together with God." And so we're glad to return a portion of the things that God blesses us with as a recognition of his ownership. God owns it. I'm willing to give a portion of that to acknowledge that. That's what tithing is about. That's what giving is all about. So there's the principle of ownership. You and I are not the owners of anything. We own nothing. It's God's. Then there's also the principle of responsibility. We're back in Matthew 25 now. We see the ownership principle in verse 14. "He called his servants and delivered them unto them his goods." So he gave them. He gave them something. He gave them, the one he gave 5 talents, the one 2, the other 1. It was a fairly significant amount of money. I don't have the exact dollars in our money today, but I gather it was a small fortune. This was not just pocket change. It was his stuff, his goods, and he gave them to his servants, to his slaves. There was a responsibility given. It doesn't really say what it was there in this little portion, but there was responsibility given. You and I are responsible individuals as well. God has given us responsibility to use and manage the possessions that we have in a way that He could be pleased with. And so we are responsible. They're God's things, and we have been made responsible for using those things in a way that pleases Him. These men had various responses to their responsibility. The one who received 5 talents, he went right to it, traded with the same. I believe the Greek brings out that this would be a going to work type of thing, not necessarily a stock market type of trading where you make profits that way, but he went to work and worked the talents, and it resulted in a profit of 5 talents. The one who had 2 did the same thing. He also gained other 2. But then they were responsible individuals. They took seriously the responsibility their Lord had given them to use these things in a way that He could be pleased when He comes back. But then there was a man here who received the 1 talent, and he went and digged a hole and buried it. A long time later, the Lord came back, and the day of reckoning was at hand. Which brings in the third principle, the principle of accountability. When there is responsibility given, accountability is on the horizon. Accountability will have to be given for the things that we have been made responsible for. You will give account for the things that you've been entrusted with. And that makes, as we think about that, and we think about the things that God has blessed us with, how am I using those things? Am I using for the maximum profit, the building of God's kingdom? Can I look the Lord in the eye, so to speak, and not be ashamed of the way I've used the things that He's given to me? It's a legitimate question, because we are accountable, we'll be held accountable for the way we've used the things that God has given to us. Notice what happened here. The day of accounting was at hand. The Lord came back. The goods that He had given them, the talents He had passed out to His slaves, there was an accounting, a day of reckoning, a day of sitting, getting together in a meeting, and giving account of what was done with the things that the Lord had entrusted to them. And so the one with 5 talents and the one with 2, they came, they brought their talents, showed them to the Lord, their Lord, their Master, and to both of them, the answer was, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over these few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things." And so it seems like there was a raise, there was a promotion on the horizon here for these men because of their faithfulness. Because of their faithfulness, they were about to receive more than they had before. We get to the one talent man who had buried his talent in a hole in the ground. And he came back. And it seems like, if you read between the lines here a bit, that he was he just came at it a bit arrogantly. He just says, "Lord, disrespectfully, I knew thee, that you're a hard man. You reap where you've not sown. You gather where you didn't do anything. You kind of make your living off the backs of other men." Just kind of threw it at the Lord. "I was afraid. I was afraid that," of what? I'm not sure. Afraid of failure, maybe. Or afraid that he wouldn't be able to please his Lord. Maybe he was just lazy. In fact, that's what the Lord called him a little later. He said, I went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what's thine. Take it, it's yours. I kept it safe for you at least. Here you are, you've got what was yours. You're not out any money. I kept it for you. The response of the Lord, notice in verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant. No apologies for the kind of person he was. He just said, you knew who I was. You knew I reap where I don't sow. You knew I gather where I don't straw. You knew me. You should have therefore put my money at least to the exchangers. I think that just means that he could have put it in the bank or given it to somebody, loaned it out to somebody so he could at least get interest on his investment. But he didn't do any of that. He just hid it, buried it. Take therefore the talent from him, give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And here's a principle from God's word. Kind of a bonus principle there besides the ones I'm sharing, the four I'm sharing. But it's interesting to me that the man who had 5, was given 5, and now had 10, the Lord gave that extra talent to the one who had 10. That doesn't seem quite fair, does it? Us Americans, we think, well, couldn't he have spread things out a little bit and gave a little more to one of the others? He didn't do that. He just gave that extra talent to the one who had, at this point, 10, which made it 11. Think about that verse there, the verse following. Unto every one that hath shall be given. There's a spiritual principle here. And he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. I think we ought to make that practical. You know, we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap death. We sow to the spirit, we're going to reap life. It's just a spiritual law. And so why don't we just make that real practical this morning? I have seen this. I've been in the ministry since 95, I guess it was. I've seen a number of things in church life. I have noticed that when a person, a family, makes spiritual things, church things, important, there's blessings added to that. And if it's not important, and we do it haphazardly, there's a price for that as well. I think that's what this verse is talking about. Not just that. There's lots of other things. We can talk about Bible reading. If I get lax in my Bible reading and hit or miss, it's not important. My prayer life, I don't do very much because I'm too busy. If we're not careful, the talents that the Master has given to us, he will take away and give to someone else who is increasing because of his focus, because of his interest, because of his desire for spiritual things. So the principle of stewardship and this scriptural principle relating to spiritual growth and life, I think for us, needs to be very important. We just can't afford to live our lives haphazardly. We can't afford to be careless about, if you want to call it the discipline of being biblical stewards of the things that God has given to us, whether it's our money, whether it's our possessions that God has given to us, whether it's our time, our interests, our hobbies. Let's make sure that we put these principles to practice, because there is a day coming where I will give account. And the law of sowing and reaping is just in play here as well. kind of a partner verse with verse 29. We sow spiritual things, we'll reap those. If we sow fleshly things, we'll reap that as well. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves without our talents because we were not faithful in the things that God had entrusted to us. There's also the principal reward. A reward for good stewardship and a punishment for poor stewardship. And I already kind of mentioned some of those things already. We read those parts. You can make it very practical. There's a reward for using the things that God has given you carefully. Maintaining your vehicles well. Changing the oil in time. There's a reward there for that. If you don't do it, there's a bad consequence. Vehicles don't last as long. We can blow our money. There's a reward for that. Or you can use it wisely. And there's a blessing there as well. Stewardship. It affects the way we live. If we believe that God owns the things that we have, if we believe that we're responsible for the things that God has entrusted to our care, if we believe that one day we will give account of how we use these things, did we blow them? Did we invest them? Did we invest them into kingdom work? Did we invest them into pleasure? We'll give account one day, and there will be rewards given accordingly. So my prayer this morning in this message is that we would take a fresh look at how we look at the things that God owns and has given us responsibility for. Let's be careful. As parents, I think it's important that we as parents live responsibly. Use our things. Be good stewards. Let's be careful how we spend our things. Let's be careful how we spend our things, because our children are watching. And so I believe we owe them a good example in the way we live our lives, the way we relate to the things God has given to us. May God bless you real well and give you wisdom as you endeavor to do that. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.